Holy Father, thank you for giving us the opportunity to be here again tonight. We invite that you would please enter our minds, enter our lives, take over. Lord, I want to be with you until you come, and after that, we're going to be together throughout eternity. I don't know that everybody's made that decision here, but I invite tonight that you would make that decision, that you plan to be with God throughout eternity in heaven, in your heavenly mansion. Father, as we are thinking together, as we're praying, as we're singing, as we're contemplating your word, may it be that you bless us. Again, Lord, please do not trust me with a single word before this your people, I pray, and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I have had some comments on the website, and people are getting questions answered. Or at this point, it's a person that's gotten questions answered, but that's okay. It's still there, it's available, you get the notes and the audio if you'd like to share the messages with your friends. That would be a real blessing. Now, there was a mention yesterday about this slide, and the purpose of this slide is not that you would purchase the series and go somewhere else and then not come back here. That's not my goal at all. This is for people who would like to hear similar messages or have similar messages and take them to their friends to be able to show them the exact same things that they've been hearing, except, of course, I did it at a different time and it's in a different way. But it's the same messages generally. That's what this is for. So at the end, again, you'd be interested to find them in the back. Now, let's turn to Genesis. No. Don't turn to Genesis. I forgot. We're not going to do that because I changed a few things up. What we're going to do is we're going to think. Are you ready to think? I don't know. I've heard it said that if you make people think that they're thinking, they love you. But if you make people think, they don't like you. So I don't know. Tonight we're going to think, okay? So Genesis chapter 1 through 3. If you don't know that story, it's creation and how God brought everything into existence. It's Adam and Eve coming into being. And then, of course, the serpent in the tree deceiving and tricking Eve into eating the fruit. Remember that story? Okay. Well, there's a lot of stuff that God had given to us in that set of the or section of the Bible. And if you think about Genesis 1 through 3, along with Revelation chapter 21 and 22, you realize that God actually brings those things back again. Okay? So eternity lost can be eternity regained because of Jesus. That's why he's the focus of the scripture. That's why the book of Revelation frankly says, the revelation of who? Jesus Christ. Exactly. Okay, so what we're going to do is take a minute to look at a few scriptures in the book of Revelation. We're not going to Genesis, we're going to Revelation. So go to Revelation 21. Okay? Revelation 21, and my Bible teaches in verse 23 that in the beginning, the sun was created. Now, in Revelation chapter 21, verse 23, we're going to learn that the sun is not needed. Why? Revelation 21, verse 23. The city that we're planning on getting, it's the kingdom of God. You've heard about the kingdom of God, haven't you? Well, guess what? The kingdom of God will be in heaven, and later it will be on this earth. Well, it says the city has no need of the sun. So wait a minute, the sun was given at the beginning, but it's not needed at the end? Why? Notice the rest of the verse. Neither the moon will be needed to shine in it, for the glory of God lightens it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. We've heard about this creature, the Lamb. Who's the Lamb? The Lamb is Jesus. So God and Jesus are going to be the light of that new city. So yes, the sun was given, but the S-O-N will be given in the future to give us that light. Okay? It's Eden lost, Eden restored. Now, I have a question. How many here would like to follow along in their own Bible, but you don't have a Bible in front of you? And if you raised your hand, you'd be grateful for somebody to hand you a Bible. Is there anybody like that? You need a Bible to follow along? I don't see any hands. Okay? Wonderful. You all came prepared. So now, if you think about in the Garden of Eden, Satan was victorious, right? Well, notice Revelation chapter 20 and verse 10. Revelation 20 and verse 10. The Bible says, "The devil that deceived the people on this earth was cast out into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are, and they are tormented day and night forever and ever." So Satan was victorious in the beginning. Satan is defeated in the end. Amen? That's the idea of what happened in this earth and what's going to be happening in the future. Well, notice as we continue in chapter 3 of Genesis, the sin entered into this world. Well, Revelation chapter 20, verse 15, notice what it says. "Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Cast into the lake of fire. Now, I want to show you something. In verse 27, notice what it says of chapter 21. Now we're looking at 21, verse 27. "There shall in no wise enter anything that defiles." We're talking about into the city of God. "Nothing that defiles, neither whatsoever works abomination." What is abomination? Abomination means sin, something that's sinful, contrary to God's will. "Nothing that defiles, nothing that works abomination or makes a lie, but they which are written in the book of life." Now, wait a minute. The very end of chapter 15, I'm sorry, the end of chapter 20 talks about those that are not found written in the book of life are thrown into the fire. But then it talks about in the last verse of 21, those that are written in the books of life or the book of life will be saved. So in Genesis, there was a need to be brought into the book of life. Finally, in the book of Revelation, we're shown that that book of life is again mentioned, and those that are in it will be saved. Well, in Genesis, Adam and Eve, they hid from God, right? You remember that? Adam and Eve were together, they ate the fruit, and all of a sudden they realized that they were naked and they were hiding themselves. God walks into the garden and he's calling for Adam. "Adam, where art thou?" And he says, "I was hiding because I was naked." He says, "Why did you know that you were naked? Who told you that?" Right? You remember? Well, guess what? In heaven, chapter 21, verse 3, we're going to live with God, never to be separated again, because sin will not come up a second time, the Bible says in Nahum chapter 1, verse 9. So, Revelation 21, verse 3, notice what it says. "I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he, God, will dwell with them, his people, and they shall be his God, I'm sorry, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God." So, no more hiding from God like in the Garden of Eden. We're going to be living with God, never to run from him again. That's Eden restored in God's holy kingdom. Now, the Bible teaches in Genesis that tears were shed. I've heard a song in the past that says, "Human tears are older than the rain." I thought that was pretty profound. Human tears are older than the rain. And it's true. If you read the Bible, there wasn't rain at the beginning. There wasn't rain until the days of Noah. But Adam and Eve, they must have cried when they saw not only the first lamb die, but also their son had killed their other son. Are you kidding me? They had to live outside of the garden because of their choice, their own choice to disobey God. Yes, human tears are older than the rain. Notice what it says in verse 4 of chapter 21. "God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." Amen? Yes. No more tears, no more pain, just like that song was sung. Now, in Genesis, we're doomed to death, the Bible teaches. What about 21 verse 4? It says, "God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death." You see that? No more death. Why no more death? The wages of sin is death, the Bible teaches in Romans chapter 3, right? The wages of sin is death. I'm sorry, chapter 6. But it says in chapter 21, verse 4 of Revelation, there will be no more death. Well, that means there will be no more sin, right? When God comes, he will eradicate sin, and therefore there will be no more death, because the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through who? Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, so paradise was lost in the Garden of Eden. The book of Revelation at the end describes paradise regained. Now, we're going to go to a verse that we looked at yesterday, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. This will help set the ground again for what we're going to be talking about. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, go ahead and turn there. And we're going to see that in verses 13 through 18, the Bible describes a time that will be absolutely beautiful for God's people. It says in verse 13, I don't want you to be ignorant. In other words, I want you to be educated on this thing. I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those which are asleep. Now, if you recall, those that are asleep, as we said yesterday, are those that have died. Okay, it actually refers to that in the next couple of verses, but just take my word for it for now. I don't want you to be ignorant about those that have died. It says, I don't want you to sorrow as others who don't have the same hope that you have. Okay? So now, if you don't know the Lord and you don't have hope of eternal life, neither does your friend, and your friend dies, you're going to suffer through sorrow as though, oh no, what now is going to happen to my friend? He's died. Paul is saying, yes, pain comes as a result of death. There's no getting around that. But don't sorrow like other people sorrow that don't have hope. Why? What are you talking about, Paul? Well, Paul knows that when Christ comes, the believers will be resurrected from death. Okay, that's what he's going to be talking about here. It says in verse 13, I don't want you to be ignorant about those that are dead. Don't sorrow as others which don't have the same hope that you have. Verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, those which are dead in Christ, those that have slept in Christ, will God bring with him. Verse 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are living and are still on the earth at the coming of the Lord, we will not go before, we will not precede, we will not prevent them which are asleep, those which have died. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. Remember, we talked about that last night. I want to hear that shout. What about you? He will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ will rise. What do we call when a dead person comes alive? They are resurrected. That's what the sleeping is that's referred to in verses 13 and 14. Those which have died in Christ will rise. What's the next word? First. Right there at the very end of verse 16. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Okay? Now, what does he mean by first? Well, notice what it says in verse 15 again. We which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, we're not going to go before them to meet the Lord. First, the folk that have died in Christ will be resurrected, okay? That's why he says first. And then it says, notice in verse 17, then, after we which are alive and those that have died are resurrected, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with those that had died in Christ in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. There's only three groups we're talking about. The Lord and his angels coming, those that are alive and remain, and those that have died that have been resurrected. There's only three groups. The Lord comes down. We don't go before them which have died. First, they're resurrected. And then we are caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. You see? It's pretty clear from Scripture that when Jesus comes, you, if you've lost a family member or a loved one that has died with faith in the Lord, they're going to be resurrected. Amen? Amen? I have a friend that was in Uganda. Now, Uganda is right next to Rwanda in Africa. And in Rwanda, you may know the history of the Hutus and the Tutsis. Anybody know that? Let me see your hands. Okay. They experienced extremely terrible, how do you say? Persecution, genocide. Genocide, that's the word I was looking for. If I remember correctly, it's either 80,000 people or 800,000 people, I don't remember which one off the top of my head, that died in only 30 days. How did they die? Mainly by machete. Okay, this was an extremely dark time in Rwandan history, okay? So, after that happened in Rwanda, whether it's 80,000 or 800,000, it is still absolutely ludicrous. Okay, whatever, you can go find out the numbers on your own, but I'm telling you, it happened in 30 days. Now listen, this gal, she was a doctor, and she used to fund herself to go over to Africa and hold meetings. And so in Africa, there are places where a whole large group of people will come out. And so she was actually in a stadium. She had about 25, 26,000 people in this stadium. She's in the middle, and she's preaching, and as she's preaching, she's able to turn around and see people all the way around her. Well, she's talking about the resurrection, reading this very scripture that we're reading right now. And all of a sudden, she noticed, as she's talking about how people that believe in the Lord will actually live again. And so what happens is people in the back, at the top, they stand up, and they start rushing down. And she's getting nervous, like she's looking around like, what's going on? And so other people are starting to rush down, and they're coming straight at her, and she's afraid. She's in Uganda. She doesn't know what's going to happen when people are starting to rush at her, coming down from the very tops of a stadium. So she's very nervous. Then she says, I didn't know what to do. I was standing there, and I was watching, and I was praying, Lord God, what is happening? What is going to happen to me tonight? And so as these people come running down, they get to the base right around her, and they start dancing. They start singing and grabbing each other and holding each other and dancing in circles. She's asking, what is going on? What in the world is happening? Finally, somebody explained to her, listen, you have no idea what it was like to lose so many family members just a couple of miles away from here. And to be able to have the hope that they will live again? We have no idea what this day will be like, my friends. We have no idea. I'm looking forward to seeing my father. Let me tell you real quick, my father, a couple months, I think it was 3 months before he actually died, he called me on the phone. He was not a Christian. He was an alcoholic. That was his God. And he calls me, he says, partner, when are you coming home? I won't tell you the whole story. I've got my testimony. You'll hear it in the future, but and perhaps I'll include it. I don't always, but I'm just impressed to talk about it now. Anyways. He says, when are you coming home? I wasn't going to be there for a long time. I was actually on a missionary endeavor, and I wasn't going to be home for a while, like months. So I explained to him when it would be. He says, nah, that's too late. I said, what's going on, partner? What's happening? He says, well, the doctor says I've only got 6 months to live. I was like, hey, listen, man, I can be home tonight. No, that's too soon, he says. And so I was like, caught off guard, you know, I wasn't expecting that kind of phone call. You don't expect that kind of phone call. So I says, partner, what do you need? What's going on? He was quiet for a moment. Afterwards, he says, I want to be baptized, and I want you to baptize me. Oh, I was shocked. I didn't know what to say, and I couldn't almost believe what was going on. Well, so I set him up to actually be with a local pastor. He started studying together with him. It was first at once a week, and then my father wanted the pastor to come over twice a week. And then pretty soon the pastor told me I was still on a missionary trip, I couldn't be home. And the pastor was telling me later that the pastor actually was invited 3 times a week by my father to come to his home to study with him. The pastor says, his name was Daniel, my father. The pastor says, Daniel, what do you want from these studies? He says, Pastor, I want what my son has. I wonder, are you willing to have in your life something that somebody else wants? Maybe a family member or a friend? You're here tonight for that purpose. God wants you to understand the gospel so that your life will change. Amen? And there's hope for those whose lives have changed. You can look forward to the second coming of Jesus so that you get your heavenly home. The Bible says in John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3, it says, I normally can quote this, but it just went right from my head. So John chapter 14, the Bible says, let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me, it says in verse 2. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Behold, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, it says, I will come again, and I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be there also. Isn't that beautiful? Now listen, Jesus told us that he's going to go away, but he's going to go away specifically to prepare a mansion for you. I don't want a vacancy sign on my heavenly mansion. I want to be there filling it. And you know, it's an amazing thing. My wife, she says, there was somebody who asked the question, are we going to be able to live with our like husbands and wives and kids in heaven? And my wife snapped her head at me. She says, I want to live with my husband. And I thought, thank the Lord. At least she likes me. Amen. So now the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 16, now they desire a better country. These are the people that have come out of Babylon back in the book of Genesis. They desire a better country. That is one that is heavenly. Do you? Do you desire something better than Fresno? Come on now. Tell the Lord about it. Get in your bed. Get on your knees and say, Lord, I want something better than what I've got right now. You've got something better. May it start in me. And God will answer that prayer. He sure did for me. I picked up the Word, and the Word still transforms and makes new out of nothing like it did 6,000 years ago. It still does it. Now, they were looking for a better country. That is one that's heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he, who? He, God, has prepared for them a city. Now, wait a minute. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3 just said, Jesus was going to prepare a city. So if you put the two scriptures together, Jesus is God. Amen? He said so himself, but let me tell you, it's for real. He's God. Revelation chapter 21. We're going to read a lot of scripture real quick here, okay? Revelation 21, verses 1 through 4, the Bible says, now just do what you can. Will you do me a favor? Do what you can to take your mind and stretch it that way. And then stretch the other side. And then stretch it down and stretch it up. And try to make this picture as big as you can. Okay? Because we're talking about the most amazing things you have ever thought of and more. All right? Now listen. Verse 1, Revelation 21. John is speaking. He says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first earth that had Fresno in it, it was passed away. There was no more ocean, no more sea. You know why he says that? Because he was surrounded with the ocean, and that was a part of his persecution. He was sent away to the island of Patmos, so every morning he woke up and he saw the waves. Every night before he went to sleep, he heard the waves. There was no more sea in this new world, this new heaven and new earth. Verse 2, I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, and it was coming down from God, out of heaven. It was prepared like a bride is prepared for her husband. Now, I'll tell you, I've seen a lot of beautiful photos, but you can come up with some really smashing photos when you're at a wedding. Can't you? The bride is looking good. And the husband, you know, he looks all right too, but the bride is looking good. I mean, I think guys are handsome too, but I like to look at beautiful women when we're talking about wives and people being married, etc. Try to understand what I'm saying. I better just go on because I'm getting myself in trouble. Verse 3. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God." Amen. I want God to be with me. I want to be with God. It says there in verse 4, God will wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, because the former things are passed away. You ever been through pain? You ever had a dog die? That hurts. There was a time where my dog was sick and I had to pull out a gun and put it to its head to be merciful to my dog. I was a young man. I was a teenager, probably 16, 17 years old. I had my pistol to that dog's head, and I tell you, with every muscle in my body, I could not pull the trigger. I just couldn't do it. I was so mad at myself. I'm like, come on, just be merciful to him. The poor guy is suffering. I couldn't do it. Because death hurts, doesn't it? It hurts. And you know, God hurt when his son died for you. It hurt his heart. The Bible teaches in Psalm chapter 18 that God was above the clouds that was above Jesus. Jesus was dying on the cross, and there was clouds above him. And Psalm chapter 18, you can read it for yourself. God the Father was above those clouds. He had separated himself from his son because he didn't want anybody to see him, but he was as close as he could get because it hurt his heart because he wanted to die for you, his son, Jesus. Now listen, there's going to be no more pain, no more death in the new city. You want to be there? Come on, say it louder. You want to be there? Amen, me too. Chapter 21, verses 10 through 12, the Bible teaches, he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain. This is Mount Zion we're talking about. He showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem. It was descending out of heaven from God. It had the glory of God, and her light was like a stone most precious, even as a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And it had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the 12 gates there were angels and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Try, like I said, to stretch your mind left and right, up and down, and just do what you can to imagine the most amazing sight you have ever seen coming down. Because guess what? The Bible teaches if you're faithful here to God on this earth, you're going to be in that city when it's coming down. Because my Bible teaches in Matthew chapter 5, the meek will inherit the earth. And if you're meek and the Lord has changed your heart to be so, you're going to be in that city that later comes down onto this earth. You can read that in chapter 21, verses 1 and 3, or 1 through 3. Now listen, the Bible continues. Look at verses 21 through 23. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. 12 pearls. A gate is a pearl? What, gates are this big, right? No. Gates are something you go through. And the pearls up there must be pretty large. Amen? Now, there's a spiritual lesson here, okay? Because, you know, you guys are all excited about pearls because they're worth something, but you know it's kind of gross. What happens is inside of an oyster, there comes a grain of sand. And inside that grain of sand, it starts irritating the oyster. It's irritating that oyster, and it's irritating it, and it's trying to spit it out, but it can't. So what it does is it covers it with saliva. And it covers it again with saliva. And it covers it again with saliva. And after covering it again and 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 again, it pretty soon becomes this very, very durable pearl. And it's really pretty. Well, now these gates here are made of pearls. The way to get into heaven through the gate, You're going through a pearl. And if you know anything naturally about a pearl, there's a lot of tribulation. There's a lot of stress. There's a lot of persecution, if you will, against those that are wanting to get into heaven. But I'll tell you, the end result is a beautiful pearl. And it's going to be worth a lot. I plan to go through one of those pearl gates. What about you? The Bible says that every single person on this earth that claims to be a Christian is going to suffer persecution. Every single one of them. You can read about it in Timothy. Now listen, let's continue. So it says in verse 21, the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was one pearl. Every gate was one pearl. The street of the city was pure gold. And it was so pure, it was, as it were, transparent glass. Wow. Gold that's as pure and transparent as glass? You've heard that story about that guy who's preparing to go to heaven. So what he does is he prepares to die. And so what he does is he gathers as much gold as he can, and he puts it in his suitcase, and he sets it right next to him. And as he's on his deathbed, the pastor comes walking in and says, I understand that you're planning on passing away soon. Oh, yes, pastor. Oh, yes, I understand I'm going to pass away. What do you have in the suitcase there? He says, well, sir, you know, my treasures. He says, well, what are your treasures? He says, you want to see it? All right. He opens up this suitcase. It's full of gold. The pastor says, pavement? Do you know the Bible says that the streets of the city will be pure gold? It doesn't matter what you cherish here on earth. It's not worth anything. And it won't be worth anything because you can't take anything to heaven except your character and those that you've been able to influence by your ministry with the Lord working through your heart. Amen? Now listen, verse 22. I didn't see any temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. So let's jump down to chapter 21, verse 27. There shall in no wise anything enter into it that defiles, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they that are written in the book that is the Lamb's. Who again is the Lamb? Jesus has a book. And if you're written in that book, you will be in heaven. Amen? I want to be written in that book. The first way to get written in that book is to realize that you have need of a Savior. I have need of a Savior every single day. And I pray, asking His blessings every single day. And I also get instruction from Him through His holy word every single day. And I'll tell you, as a result of doing that for 18 years, I've learned a few things, yes, but I'll tell you more than that, I have found a friend. I have found a real, true, divine friend. Now, I don't treat Him as a buddy, because He's not a buddy. He's God, okay? But He's a friend, and I love Him. I love God, and I want to serve Him the rest of my life. And He's inviting you to have friendship as well. He's a friend that never turns back. The Bible says in Matthew 28 at the end, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. That's the kind of friend I like. Amen? Now, there's something that's interesting about this city. You've just read about it. You know that God wants you to go and be part of a city. Amen? Now listen, the one city... Whoops. What happened here? There's one city named Jerusalem in the book of Revelation. There's another city named Babylon in the book of Revelation. Now, let me just tell you very clearly, these are symbolic, okay? We're not talking about literal Jerusalem in the Middle East. We're not talking about literal Babylon in the Middle East. I challenge anybody who teaches that. It is not literal, it's symbolic. The Old Testament literal places are today global and symbolic. It makes a whole lot more sense when you're studying the scripture that way. Now listen, Jerusalem and Babylon are two cities in the book of Revelation. Guess what? It says there of Jerusalem, I will show thee the bride. And then it says about Babylon, I will show thee the whore. Ah, they're both women. But I want to show you something. Look in Revelation chapter 21, since you're there, and read verse 9 once again. There came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Stay right there in that verse, and you stay there in chapter 21, verse 9. I'm going to turn to chapter 17, verse 1, and I'm going to read that. And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore. You see the similarities there? There's an angel that comes with one of the seven vials, and it comes and speaks with John, saying, come here, I'm going to show you something. It's going to be a woman. That clues you off that there's something going on between the two cities. Now let's continue. One is called the Lamb's wife. One is called the great whore. They are both with people. Okay? One is inappropriately with people. The other one has the right to be so. One is carried away in the spirit. If you read about Jerusalem, John is carried away in the spirit to see Jerusalem. And if you read about Babylon in chapter 17, John is carried away in the spirit to that other city. Now, John is carried to Jerusalem to see. He's carried to a great and high mountain. Well, in Babylon, he's carried into the wilderness. I like to think about the wilderness, including mountains. I don't know about you, but most of the time when I think about wilderness, I think about mountains. Okay, so mountains and wilderness, yes, they're different words, but they could be very similar because, of course, you're going to see how many similarities there are. Now, number 5 about Jerusalem, God showed me that great city. That what? Great city. Well, if you read in Revelation chapter 17 at the end, John is told by the angel, you saw that great city. Talking about a very different city. We're talking about Babylon now, whereas Jerusalem is also called that great city. So then, Jerusalem has something written on it. It's called that, or rather, the Holy Jerusalem. Well, Babylon also has something written on it. Babylon the Great. So they both have a name written on them. They both are called that great city. They're both in the wilderness area. John is taken, carried away by the Spirit to see both of them. They're both connected to somebody. They're both women. What's going on here? Out of heaven from God, Jerusalem comes. The great city Babylon is thrown down out of heaven from the angel. They're both coming down from heaven. In two very different ways, of course, but they're both coming down from heaven. One has glory. In fact, it's the glory of God. The other one has glory, except she glorifies herself. Jerusalem has a stone most precious. Babylon has precious stones. So when you're looking at one and you're looking at the other, you're thinking, man, there's a lot of similarities here. It's kind of like looking at Jesus and then looking at the Antichrist. There's so many similarities. How do I know the difference? One has a name on it. The other one has a name on it. One is gold and the other one is gold. One has stones and the other one has stones. And this is a woman and that is too. How do you know the difference? Let me tell you, the enemy is all about deception. You're not going to drink a black glass of water, will you? But would you drink a clear glass of water that has invisible poison in it? Well, you sure might if you didn't know, right? But nobody's drinking a black cup of water. I'd be like, no way, man, I don't want that thing. What's in there? You could tell right off the bat. But if it's clear and it's cold and it's got some ice in it and somebody says, hey, man, it's a hot day, take this. And you're like, oh, and 20 minutes later, you're dead. That's deception. That's what the enemy's all about. Now, this city, Jerusalem, has 12 foundations. So it's sitting on something. And guess what? She, this other woman, Babylon, she sits upon many waters. She also has foundations. They're very different, of course, but they do have foundations. One was of pure gold. The other one was decked with gold. And so you're looking at these two women and you're going, what is going on? I'll tell you, friends, if you don't study the Bible for yourself, you will end up in the wrong city, I promise you. It's about you knowing the scripture and God for yourself. One amen. It's about you knowing God and the Holy Word for yourself. Now, as we continue, this stone, Jerusalem, had precious stones and pearls. Now, of course, Babylon, as it says, has precious stones and pearls. It's so interesting. One has glory, the glory of God. The other one has glory from a candle, okay? A very, very different glory, but they both have glory or light shining in both of them. So I want to let you know that these cities in the book of Revelation, they're both kingdoms. They're both great cities. People are part of both of them. But the question is, which one are you going to be involved in? Who's going to be your king, the Antichrist or Jesus Christ? They both look alike. The city looks like that one. Which one are you going to be part of? It is about you. It's not about me telling you the truth. It's about you studying the Bible for yourself. Amen? Because if you don't, you don't plan to be there. You plan to be there. And it's up to you. Because I'm telling you, Jesus has made that holy city. He's made it for you. He wants you to be there. Now, of course, kings bring their glory into Jerusalem. And kings also come into Babylon. But kings bewail and lament what happens there. Turn to Isaiah 65. Isaiah 65. I realize I'm going to have to get going here pretty quick. I've taken too many liberties and spoken about different things. I'm running out of time. Isaiah 65, starting in verse 17. Behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. Wait a minute. We've read about that before, right? In Revelation 21. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Behold, the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Well, he says the same thing here. Behold, I create a new heavens and a new earth. The former will not come into mind, nor will it be remembered. And then jump down to verse 21. It says, they, people that are in that city and in that new earth, rather, they shall build houses and inhabit them. Well, wait a minute. The Bible says, I have a mansion that was built for me by God, right? Jesus says, behold, I go and prepare a place for you. That you can be where I am when I come to get you? Yes. So there's going to be a heavenly city. But at the same time, it says right here in verse 21 that we will build houses and we will inhabit them. So guess what? In the new earth, you're not only going to have a city home, you're going to have a home in the country. One that you've built. And that's the one I've planned on. Like, yeah. I'm totally excited about getting my city that God, or my building mansion that God has prepared for me. But I'm laying out the plans of the one in the country that I'm going to be living in. They will build houses, it says in verse 21, and inhabit them. They will plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They will not build and another inhabit. They will not plant nor and another eat. And then jump down to verse 23. They shall not labor in vain nor bring forth for trouble the children of the blessed of the Lord. And their offspring will be with them. Verse 24, it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. Notice what's interesting in verse 25. It says, the wolf and the lamb will feed upon one another. No, it doesn't say that, does it? It says, the wolf and the lamb will eat each other. Is that what it says? It says the wolf and the lamb will feed together. You see? Why does it say that? Notice what as you continue. The wolf and the lamb will feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox, or like the bullock. And dust shall be the serpent's meat, because you know the serpent tricked Eve in the garden, and so he's going to be suffering the rest of his life. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountains, saith the Lord. Even the lion is not going to hurt the lamb. Lions are going to be vegetarian. Amen. I happen to be a vegetarian. I've been for 18 years and I love it. It's a great idea and I think it's wonderful. So, you know, heaven for you is going to be different than heaven for me in my mind. I mean, just think about it. If you were a rabbit, what kind of heaven would be yours? It's from what perspective you come from, okay? Like, you might really be excited about something in heaven, whereas somebody else might be like, I'm not looking for that. I'm looking for something else. And somebody else might be just saying, listen, I just want to see my mother again. It's all there. Whatever you want is going to be there because we're going to have new hearts. God is going to live within us. And I tell you, it's going to be beautiful. It's going to be so beautiful. Just a couple more scriptures here. Revelation chapter 22, verses 1 through 6. I'm going to start reading since we don't have a lot of time. He showed me a pure river of water of life. It was clear as crystal. Hey, that's as clear as the walls in the city. Everything's going to be transparent. It's going to be amazing, like a crystal city. So, clear as crystal, this river proceeded out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of the street of this city, and on either side of the river, was there a tree. It was the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits. I've requested that mangoes be on that tree. Amen. I love mango. Amen. So it says that there's going to be 12 manner of fruits that yield their fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. It says in verse 3, there will be no more curse. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants will serve him. They shall see his face. You have no idea what that means. Moses, the Bible says Moses was the meekest man on the earth. Wasn't that Moses? That wasn't Abraham, was it? That was Moses? That was Moses. Moses was the meekest man on the earth. And the Bible says Moses said to God, show me your glory. And God says, you know what? I have to put you behind a rock, and when I pass by, I'm going to cover your face so you can see behind me. You can't see my face because the Bible says, if you see my face, you will die. And so here when it says, we will see his face, that's amazing. His name will be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there. And they have no need of the candle nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he saith unto me, these things are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets send his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Now notice, read it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You have two options. You either perish in Babylon with the Antichrist as your leader, or you live everlasting in Jerusalem with Christ as your leader. Which one do you want? It's available to you. It's available to you. It is your decision. You have to pick up the Bible and read for yourself, praying, God, please teach me. And you have to know for yourself who the author of the Bible is. Once you know that for yourself, you can plan on being in Jerusalem. God says, I will save you. Amen? So it's really about Bible study and prayer. If you study the Bible and you pray, you will get to know the author of the book. And you have the same faith that the Bible talks about in the Holy Scripture. Now listen. Eden was lost. I got to look this way because something's not going on here. Whatever. Eden was lost. Hey. Is it going to do that again? I'll just read it to you. Eden was lost with Adam and Eve. It's going to do it again. Eden will be restored to us again. Heaven has a mansion for you. You will have a city and a country home. No more pain, no more destruction, no more death, no more sorrow. Heaven is a real place with real people. We will see God's face. Eternity will be yours if you will. Bible and study Bible study and prayer, rather, will get you there. Amen? How many would like to say, Lord, I want, no matter what it takes, to be in heaven, my heavenly mansion? Let me see your hands. Amen. I wonder if you'd be willing to come up here and pray with me. Anybody who says, Lord, I want tonight to have that experience, I want you to come up here and pray with me. Come on, don't be shy. And I want you this is like a commitment to the Lord. You're coming up and you're saying, God, I want tonight to commit my life to whatever you want me to do. Don't be shy, come on up. We're gonna gather together and I'm gonna have the pastor, Pastor Rob, to pray for us and ask the Lord to bless us as we're together. If you want your heavenly mansion, if you want your heavenly home, you're showing God by coming up here. We're gonna gather like brothers and sisters. We're gonna pray together, amen? Amen.